I'd like to welcome everybody to Peyto's 2012 Reserves Podcast, where we talk about our reserve report news release that just came out today. With me here, I have Darren Gee, the President and CEO of Peyto Exploration and Development, Scott Robinson, our COO and VP of Operations, J.P. Lachance, our VP of Exploitation, and Rico Espiritu, our Manager of Engineering and Business Development, to discuss the reserve report news release. So, first I'm going to ask Darren, we've issued a news release that presents the highlights of the independent reserve report conducted by Insight Petroleum Consultants, who have for many years been working with our reserve reports and have experience with our wells and our exploration and exploitation activities. This report has given us the largest volumetric increases in natural gas reserves we've ever seen year over year in proved producing, total proved, and proved plus probable categories. While our reserves increased volumetrically on both an absolute and per share basis, the value of our reserves, even after you adjust for the dividends we paid out, were down slightly, yet the dollars we invested in 2012 produced a healthy return based on this reserve report. So Darren, what are we getting out of our activities? How do you compare this to our peers, and how do you compare it to our previous years?
Okay, Jim, that's a rather lengthy question, but I'll see if I can answer that. You asked, what are we getting out of our activities? Well, the simple answer is we're getting good return on our investment of capital. Somewhere, I would say, around the 25% return mark. So, for instance, if you look at the activity that comprises the $452 million of, let's call it organic capital, Insight's valuation suggests a 24% IRR before tax. So, you know, in isolation, it looks pretty good. However, as you also suggest, when we look at the comparison to previous years, it appears that we've been doing all this work just to keep our heads above water, so to speak, because over the last few years, we've seen the commodity price forecasts coming down year over year. Over the last 3 years, for example, the commodity price forecasts have adjusted our approved producing value down by around 21% in 2010, another 10% in 2011, and it looks like another 20% this year in 2012. So in aggregate, that's a loss of around 35% of our value over 3 years due to commodity prices. At the same time, though, we've grown our proved producing reserves by 60%, from 98.5 million barrels up to 157 million barrels. And we've also grown our 2P reserves close to 200%, from 200 million barrels to almost 400 million barrels. So, thankfully, we've been growing enough to more than offset the commodity price drop. Which, you know, obviously this is in pretty stark contrast to the rest of the industry. The rest of our industry hasn't been growing its producing reserves over the last couple of years, just like they haven't been growing their production. How could they be? They're too busy selling off their assets. They have, however, been increasing their share of undeveloped resources. I don't think this does you much good, because if your cash flow and your cash resources are shrinking, then how do you expect to fund the development of all those undeveloped resources? So, you know, I think even though we've had a bit of a commodity headwind over the past few years, which I also think is now over, we've done what others have only dreamed of doing, and that is growing the size of our producing asset base.
Okay, Rico, each year since we started drilling horizontal wells, I've asked you about what new value we've uncovered by assessing the results of developing horizontal wells on formations where we had little or no horizontal track record to date. I'm basically asking you the same question this year, but broadening it to also ask what new value has been uncovered due to newer technologies and our expanding geographic areas of activity.
Well, thanks, Jim. Let me begin by saying that drilling horizontal wells in gas reservoirs have been around for decades, but most of the early horizontal wells drilled then were left open hole without any form of stimulation. The emergence of multi-stage fracturing as a way to effectively stimulate the long horizontal well bores has provided many operators a new lease on life. It is a game changer and one that all of us here at Peyto are very thankful for. Because of this technology, Peyto has evolved from a pure vertical well operator to a pure horizontal well driller in just 3 short years. In fact, all 86 gross wells that Peyto drilled in 2012 are horizontal wells. Although we did not drill a test horizontal well on the new horizon in 2012, we did expand our drilling coverage to include areas where there have been few horizontal wells drilled to date. These areas include our Neenan area, where Peyto drilled 3 successful Woolrich horizontal wells last year, as well as down in Ansel, where we followed up on a successful Woolrich well, thus proving up the play in both areas. We're also drilling and completing our horizontal wells quicker and cheaper, which are directly related to our efficiencies, which then translate to cost savings. So on a per horizontal well basis, the overall cost has dropped, thus making the wells more economic. With lower overall cost and Peyto's 100% success rate in both the developed areas and new areas, we were able to increase our inventory of future horizontal wells that meet or exceed our internal economic hurdles. For example, our inventory future undeveloped horizontal well locations last year stood at 410 gross locations. This year, after drilling 86 gross wells, 60 of which were included in the inventory last year, we were able to increase our horizontal well count to 488, thus increasing the inventory by 19%. So in essence, for every 1 horizontal well drilled last year, Peyto was able to replace it with 1.6 new locations. When it comes to completion, we continue to search for better ways to complete our horizontal wells to give them the best possible chance to produce optimally. We're always challenged by the difficulty in placing sand in our hard-to-frack zones such as the Cardium, Blue Sky, and Tanumen. So last year, on some of our wells, we attempted a new way of completing these zones that enabled us to minimize the number of screenouts that we used to encounter on a regular basis. While it is too early to tell how effective this new completion technique is, we're encouraged by the fact that we essentially have not experienced any screenouts when using this completion method. In fact, when Peyto drilled its second Tanumen horizontal well in 2012, and as a way of mitigating the risks, we decided to apply this new completion method. The results are early, but they are encouraging. So what does this mean to Peyto? Well, it may help unlock the reserves that are waiting to be recovered in formations that are very difficult to stimulate, such as the Tanumen. There are many unbooked locations in the Tanumen on Peyto's lands, and most notably on the open range lands that the company acquired recently, that could benefit from this completion method going forward. The Dandegan and Arkaimak area, perhaps, is another formation that could benefit from this completion technique.
Okay, Rico. Another question I ask every year is, how are horizontal wells have been performing against previous year's reserve evaluations? Our oldest horizontal wells are now more than 3 years old, and knowing how our horizontal wells have progressed against the original and subsequent modeling should give us a better feel for their predictability and the confidence level in our projections. So, how are they stacking up as they age, and how much better are our models because of our increased experience with them?
Okay, well, as most people would recall, Peyto drilled his first ever horizontal well in the Woolrich in the Nosal area, and then followed it up with 2 Cardium horizontal wells in Sundance area before the end of 2009. I am pleased to report that as a group, these wells have performed very well over the years, showing slight improvements in reserves assignments during their first 2 years of production. This year, their aggregate assignment remained essentially the same as last year's, which suggests that they are not performing as expected based on last year's forecast. Similarly, Peyto's first 43 horizontal wells are now more than 2 years old, and as expected, this group saw a 10% increase in their reserves assignments the following year, but they held pretty much constant during the 2012 assessment period, which again suggests that our forecast models are getting tighter year over year. Our reserves evaluators now have a better understanding of how our horizontal wells behave, so the confidence level in assigning reserves has improved immensely. As a consequence of this, we have also seen an increase in the average reserves assignments of Peyto's inventory from more than 500 locations, 488 of which are horizontal locations that carry proven, undeveloped, and probable additional reserves. That is, the PU average booking for 2012 has increased by 4.4% to 522,000 BOEs per well, while the PA average booking for 2012 has increased by a similar percentage of 4% to 467,000 BOEs per well.
Okay, Scott, in this latest reserve report, we talk about plans for 2013 to develop 3 new gas plants with 90 million cubic feet a day of processing capacity, and plans to add deep cut facilities to 2 more of our existing plants. Last year at this time, deep cut was something we were anticipating, but it certainly not arrived at. Can you give us a review of where we came in 2012 with production capacity and outline where we're going in 2013?
Sure. We'll start with 2012. Coming into the year, our facility capacity in total was about 340 million cubic feet equivalent, about 300 of which was available to our own working interest volumes when you account for the fact that we carry some non-owned volume. So that was how we started the year, about 300 net available to us, and our production at the start of the year was 250 million. So we had some room to grow. In the middle of the year, we increased our facility capacity by about 80 million gross or 60 million net with the Open Range acquisition and two strategic facilities that accompanied that acquisition. So all total, at the end of the year, our facility capacity was about 420 million cubic feet, of which 360 million cubic feet equivalent per day was available to our own volume. If we look at our current production in the 57,000-58,000 barrel a day range, that equates to about 340 million cubic feet. So our current production is now coming close to our facility capacity. We've still got a little bit of room. We plan to continue to grow through this year, obviously. The current 57 or 58,000 barrels, we expect to take over the course of this year up towards 65, 66,000, which will add some additional production and facility requirements, and hence the three new facilities that we're embarking on. In addition to the three facilities, we've got two compressor stage expansions that we're undertaking, and those two are actually done. We've added 10 million a day of capacity to both our to our Wild Hill and Nose Hill plants, so a total of 20 million amongst those two. And then we've got 70 million remaining in the three facility projects that will effectively take our year-end corporate processing capacity from the 420 at the end of the year up to 510 million cubic feet equivalent by the end of this year. With respect to the deep cut plans and project, we're pleased to report that the Old Man deep cut expansion has been completed and is running very well. We're currently completing some optimization steps to get it right down to the maximum cooling level that it was designed for. But we're almost there, and the LPG yields or increases in LPG recovery are matching the predictions that we had going into that project. We do have on the horizon two additional deep cut projects, one at Nose Hill and one at Wild Hay, and we're currently undertaking the preliminary work. The engineering design work is coming to completion, and we'll be looking at vessel design work to accommodate those projects. We are presently taking a bit of a measured and cautious approach to the timing of those projects, though. There's been some downward pressure on the propane and butane markets recently, so we're going to watch those closely over the first part of this year and coordinate the timing of those other deep cut projects coincident with the LPG market response.
Okay. JP, in our reserve report news release, we discuss a projected base production decline rate for 2013 of 35%. Can you give us an idea of how this is calculated, why it is higher after periods of large capital expenditure, and where we expect this to go over time?
Thanks, Jim. Insights forecasted our base production to exit 2013 at about 37,000 BOEs per day. And based on our estimated productive capability at the start of this year of 57,000 BOEs per day, that equates to about a 35% decline over 2013. Now, if we break down that 57,000 BOEs per day into two production wedges, the newly added 2012 well program and the pre-existing wells, that split is close to 45% to 55% respectively. The 2012 program, which declines at a rate of over 50%, is made up of wells in various stages of decline that have come on over the last year. And that steep decline is to be expected for tight deep basin gas wells. The pre-existing wells, wells drilled prior to 2012, exhibit a shallower decline by virtue of their maturity at about 20% over 2013. So together, these make up the average 35% decline I spoke of. Obviously, the greater the capital program, the greater the new wedge of production relative to our mature production, and the more impact that a 50% type decline would have on the total corporate decline in the following year. Now, over the last 4 years, we've demonstrated capital efficiencies of adding production for under 18,000 of flowing BOE year over year. For recognizing that, we can replace the 35% corporate decline in 2013 with about $350 million of capital. By the same token, if we spend $500 million this year, we forecast a new growth wedge by year-end of upwards of 29,000 BOEs per day. Going to 2014, that new growth wedge would represent about 44% of our total. Coupled with a pre-existing well forecast at 20% as well, we predict the average corporate decline rate in 2014 at about 34%. So in the future, if we were to keep our capital spending flat each year at about $500 million, for example, we would see the corporate decline rate drop year over year as our new production wedge becomes a smaller portion of the total. Conversely, if we were to increase capital, say up to as much as 30 to 35% year over year, we would see our corporate decline rate remain at that 35% year over year.
Okay, JP. We've outlined a large number of prospective drilling locations that are included in the proved undeveloped reserves and probable additional reserves. Can you give us more color on these locations and explain the implications of the statement from our reserve report that our existing wells and these 507 still make up only 13% of our total land rights?
Jim, as you said, Insights recognized 507 gross undrilled locations this year out of our internal estimates of over 1,100. And this is up from last year's count of 438, and that's after we drilled 60 of them this past year. Peyto has had 218 horizontal wells on stream at the end of 2012, with an average ultimate recovery of 3.6 BCF equivalent per well, and that's as booked by Insight. The proved undeveloped locations recognized by Insight have been assigned average ultimate reserves of 3.1 BCF equivalent per well. The probable undeveloped locations, which represent a slightly lower confidence level, have been assigned 2.8 BCF equivalent per well. So we have 3.6 BCF per well for producing reserves, 3.1 and 2.8 BCF E for undrilled locations in the future. What happened this year when we converted the 60 undrilled wells booked last year to producers in 2012? Well, those 60 wells saw an average increase of 8% over their previous assignments. Now, this demonstrates the high quality of the undeveloped reserves in Peyto's book. The breakdown of Peyto's undeveloped reserves, primarily horizontal well locations, as Rico mentioned earlier, have increased across almost all the species of wells, but notably in the Nauticuan, the Flare, and the Blue Sky formations, reflecting recent drilling success. Peyto's land base contains multiple stacked zones, of which we've identified seven horizons so far that we've targeted with horizontal drilling. Now, this allows for an efficient recovery of the resource, as we can utilize existing infrastructure and surface locations as we drill up the different strata. If we peel back our lands layer by layer to recognize these seven layers, all of which have some assigned reserves, we calculate just under 1.4 million net acres of land. Now, this is unique as compared to a pure Montney play, for example. The reserves assigned by Insight, both our producing and undeveloped locations, are spread over 187,000 net acres. This represents a mere 13% of our layered land base with assigned reserve.
Okay. Darren, the numbers we reported this year for changes in future development capital dropped significantly from the numbers reported the last couple of years. What's changed in that that would allow us to develop our reserves more cheaply than we previously anticipated?
Jim, the change in future development capital from previous years is less because our capital programs are not expanding as fast as they were. So a couple of years ago, we had much smaller capital programs, and when we started ramping up our capital spending, we were able to significantly increase our future development capital too, to match the annual capital that we were spending. So when you look at the change in organic capital from, say, 2012 to 2013, for example, we're going from $450 million to $500 million. So that smaller change of around $50 million forecast out for, say, the next 5 years is about the $250 million change in total future development capital that we've seen. Now, that being said, we are forecasting that future reserves will cost a little less to develop than what we were previously carrying. As both Rico and JP were talking about, last year we carried about 140 million barrels of undeveloped reserves that were forecast to cost $1.7 billion to develop, or around $12 a barrel. And this year we're carrying 175 million barrels that are forecast to cost around $2 billion to develop, or $11 a barrel. So down from $12 a barrel to $11 a barrel to develop those future reserves. A little bit less. And that's because we're getting more efficient using things like pad drilling and continuously improving drilling performance. But I think this is a very important point. We're not suggesting that future reserves are going to cost significantly less than what we're currently developing them for. This year's producing F&D at about that $13 mark. So, you know, these estimates that we're using for future development capital are based on actual average costs that we've been experiencing, including the average amount of cost overruns if and when they occur. But when you look at others in the industry and how much they are forecasting future reserves to cost, you often find that they're carrying significantly less capital than what they are currently spending to develop their reserves. And I think this is because they haven't drilled enough wells to know what the actual costs really are. They're basing a lot of their future development capital on a best-case scenario from a few data points, which likely means they are underestimating the future cost of development of these reserves. You know, and by contrast, at Peyto, we've got hundreds of wells that we've drilled of this type, so we know exactly what the average well is going to cost us, including the average amount of problems, and we've gone to the effort of breaking out exactly what was booked last year, and what we've converted in the following year, and what reserves we developed, and what it costs, so we can clearly demonstrate to our investors that our estimate of future development costs and future reserves are very real. Because one of the things I've noticed when looking at other companies' reserves over the years is that their PDP FD&A is always significantly higher than their total proved FD&A, or their P plus P FD&A. And I think this is because when they actually get around to developing the undeveloped reserves, they find they cost a lot more than what they are estimating. That's just a little something for our investors to keep in mind.
Okay. JP, this year's reserve report news release gives us some breakout of the Open Range acquisition as to how what we've acquired fits into our asset base, at what cost, and for what benefits. How do the Open Range assets that we've acquired complement our original asset base?
Jim, the Open Range acquisition added about 10 million barrels of producing reserves at year-end. Peyto drilled 13 gross or 11.8 net wells locations on Open Range lands in the balance of 2012, adding an additional 5.4 million barrels of new 2P reserves. Insight has also recognized an additional 73 undeveloped locations. These assignments of reserves on the Open Range lands are comparable to our own or to our existing asset base, so it's a nice fit.
Okay. So, Darren, when you look at the competitive landscape and the reserve reporting that some of our peers have made so far this year, can you share your observations about where our reserve report places us? What have we accomplished in 2012? How about the rest of the players in the Deep Basin?
You know, Jim, it's interesting. I had a look at the drilling that the industry did in the Deep Basin in 2012, particularly for gas, because obviously we're drilling for gas in the Deep Basin. And I was actually surprised to see that we had drilled the most gas wells in the Deep Basin of any operator last year, with 86 horizontal wells. Of course, horizontal drilling being all the type of drilling that's really being done anymore in the Deep Basin. A distant second place was Bonavista with 51. In fact, when you looked at it, we drilled more horizontal gas wells in the Deep Basin in 2012 than Encana, Shell, Apache, and Husky combined, which I think is kind of amazing. So I think it shouldn't really come as a surprise that we developed more reserves than any of those companies did, and we did it, I suspect, at much lower producing FD&A costs than any of them, because we just have more practice at it. We're getting the economies of scale that a larger program can deliver. And we're doing it at a time when the industry is not too busy, so we're getting better service costs too.
Okay. So, Darren, what does this evaluation of our reserves and the changes in them over last year imply to us and our strategy in 2013 and beyond?
Jim, the annual reserves evaluation is important work. It gives us a truly independent measure of the success of our capital program, and it gives it to us in great detail. It tells us what zones are working, which ones aren't, what areas are more profitable than others. It tells us what our assets are worth under the current commodity price assumptions. It tells us what we've done to grow our asset base and what things both inside and outside of our control have affected the value of our asset base. The bottom line is that in 2012, we grew our asset base, and we grew it profitably, including the acquisition of Open Range. And to me, that confirms the Peyto strategy of value creation, and we continue to deliver on that strategy, which is exactly what we intended to do last year.
Okay. I'd like to thank everyone that tuned in to listen to this, and I'd like to thank you all for sharing everything with us and the investors here today.